Hello, everyone, and welcome to Great Lakes Football Talk. Before we get into the main show, I want to go over some quick news and notes. First, we have Patrick Peterson is going to be suspended for the first six games for PEDs. That is a huge blow to the Arizona Cardinals secondary and for a team that is supposed to be on the rise this year. Secondly, the Seattle Seahawks have released longtime safety and wide receiver Cam Chancellor and Doug Baldwin. And Doug Baldwin has went on and retired from the NFL. Before his release, there was rumors that he was going to retire due to health issues anyways. And finally, it is with a heavy heart to announce that Buffalo Bills superfan Ezra Castro, and I can't really roll my R's, so I'm going to say it how I say it, also known as Pancho Villa, died this past week of cancer at the age of 39. It's very sad. He was one of the most known fans in the Buffalo Bills community, but he's in a better life now. So this 2019 season, this is for you, Pancho. Hopefully the Buffalo Bills can go out and do some big things for you, get back to the playoffs, and maybe surprise some people. Guys, Adam unfortunately could not be with us today, so we have a special guest co-host instead. He's been on the show before, and he hosts his own show right here on Anchor called Nickel City Sportscast. My good friend Mark. Mark, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's definitely been a while. We haven't put out a show for a couple weeks, and it's been a long time talking to these people. But today, got a pretty special show. The draft was just a couple weeks away. And being that our page, well, my page and our site is mostly a fantasy football site, we thought we'd get into some fantasy rankings for rookies. So basically what happened was me, Adam, and yourself, we all ranked the five rookie rankings by position and then kind of just listed them all, and we're going to compare them. So there are a couple differences in there, and we're going to try to talk about those. So let's just get right into it. Adam, unfortunately, like I said, is not here. He actually has the first difference in our first category, it's the quarterbacks. But I'll list mine, I'll list his, and then you can list yours, and we'll try to dissect why he has his QB1 is different than ours.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, let's get into it. So my rankings, which is actually the same as your rankings, I got Kyler Murray from the Cardinals, number one, Dwayne Haskins, number two, Drew Lock, number three, Will Greer, number four, Daniel Jones, number five, and I got an honorable mention of Ryan Finley of the Bengals at number six. As I said, you have the same rankings. He is actually flip-flopped one and two. He's got Dwayne Haskins, number one, and Kyler Murray, number two. The rest of them are all the same, including the honorable mention. Why do you think he has Haskins above Kyler Murray for rankings? Now, these aren't specifically dynasty. I guess they can be dynasty, but they're not specifically dynasty. It's more for, I guess, really going into 2019.
The only thing that I could probably come up with, and obviously none of us can speak for Adam, but when I looked at it, I was excited. But full disclaimer, we didn't share any of our rankings until we had completed them entirely. So when I saw that he actually had something different from the rest of us, I was like, okay, so why did he flip-flop Haskins and Murray? And what I came up with was it's got to be offensive scheme. It's got to be that Haskins is more your prototypical pro-style quarterback, and the offense he's going to be going into, you know, it caters to that, and he'll have a lot of good weapons around him. He'll have a decent offensive line, nothing spectacular, but they do have Adrian Peterson. They're going to have Darius Geis coming back from injury. They drafted some other weapons to go along with Haskins. So I'm thinking maybe he's looking at the entire picture and going, there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of question marks, or at least more so with Murray and the Cardinals than there is with Haskins and Washington.
Yeah, those are my exact thoughts too. I can definitely see Haskins at least having a better 2019. Now the weapons are, I would honestly put Kyler Murray's weapons above Washington's weapons with Haskins. But I think Haskins is the better overall quarterback. He's, as you mentioned, they drafted some weapons. They got Kelvin Harmon late in the sixth round. They already had, they already had Jordan Reed, who, if he could stay on the field, he is a top tight end in this league. Darius Geis, hopefully he returns full from injury and he's starting week one. Adrian Peterson, who just doesn't seem to age. But Murray's weapons, and probably the reason why you have him at number one and why I have him at number one, I think his weapons are a little bit better. I think he's got the better run game now. Obviously, their offensive line was one of the worst last year, but David Johnson is still. He's still David Johnson. He's going to be, hopefully he can get back to what he was a couple of years ago, one of those top running backs in the league. Larry Fitzgerald, another one that just doesn't age. He keeps on signing 1 year deals and he's going into another season, 28 receptions away from moving into second all time. Christian Kirk, who kind of came on last year, and then they drafted three wide receivers this year, one of them who I'm very high on. But it's, I could definitely see why he has Haskins at number one. Again, four through our honorable mention, or three through our honorable mention, we all kind of agree on. Can you see any of those four, Drew Lock, Will Greer, Daniel Jones, or Finley, seeing significant time this year?
All right, so right off the bat, we've got Drew Lock and Will Greer 3 and 4, and I think probably if any one of them is going to see significant time over the other, I'd probably go with it's a toss up between Jones and Greer. At this point, I'm willing to go Greer over Jones, only because of Cam Newton's injury, and it's more of a question mark of, is he going to be able to stay healthy throughout the entire season? I fully expect Eli Manning to, I mean, barring a significant injury of any kind, or if he just completely craps the bed, that they look to just bench him and put in Jones. I would say Greer probably has the most likely of chances of getting in there maybe midway through the season. I'm fairly certain that Flacco is going to be fine in Denver. I don't expect Locke to get in this season. If he does, again, it's going to be one of those scenarios where Flacco just completely bombed. It just didn't work out at all. But I don't see that happening at all. So if I'm going, who's going to get have the better opportunity? I'd go Greer, Jones, Locke, and then I just don't know how Finley sees the field in his rookie season.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. It's kind of a toss up for me between Greer and Jones. Same reasons actually. Cam Newton's injury is a little scary. The way that he plays, one more big hit, he could miss some time. Will Greer could definitely get in there. Again, you mentioned Flacco. He was hurt last year, and that's when Lamar Jackson took over. But that's again the only reason why I would think that Drew Lock takes over there. And Daniel Jones, again, he's behind Eli Manning. Eli would have to have another down year or start the season 0-6, 1-5 in order for Jones to come in. I don't think he's going to start right away. And Finley, he's not going to be seeing time over Andy Dalton. That offense is a really good offense when they're all healthy and when they're all clicking with AJ Green and Joe Mixon. So Finley learning behind Dalton is definitely a good way to go. So to answer the original question, I would probably put Greer on top too, with Daniel Jones kind of like a 1B for seeing time. Getting into the running backs, we kind of had some differences here. So my list was Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Alexander Mattison, Damian Harris, and honorable mention of Devin Singletary. Adam had Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery. He had Singletary up at number 3. Miles Sanders, Damian Harris at 5, And he had two honorable mentions, Benny Snell of the Steelers and Alexander Mattison with the Vikings. Why don't you go over your list?
All right. So again, one and two was completely the same for everybody across the board. I had Jacobs and Montgomery, but then I had Daryl Henderson actually in LA. I had Western New York native Kadri Olison in Atlanta. I had Benny Snell for the Steelers. And then my honorable mention, which I kept secret because I don't think it would have been one anyone would have expected because we were going over rookies. My mystery guy is going to be Darius Geis. And that's because he never got a rookie season. So technically, this would be his rookie season. And, you know, he's had time to learn the playbook. He's sit and he's studied and he's watched and trained with Adrian Peterson as a mentor. I can see him at some point taking the reins over, and given his style, I think he could be super beneficial to that offense, and he could be a sleeper pick somewhere, either in the late rounds if somebody wants to take a flyer on him, or even picking him up somewhere, off the waiver wire later in the season.
Yeah, I like that mystery pick a lot. He technically is not eligible for any Rookie of the Year awards or anything like that, but he is he I think he would fall into this category. He is getting, especially in my group chat, the Fantasy Football Fraternity group chat, he is getting a lot of hype. I don't think he's going to last super late. I think he's going to end up being, if people know that he's healthy going into the preseason and depending on when they draft. I think he's going to be a mid-round pick, but he's definitely somebody to look out for. In Adrian Peterson, another year older. Yeah, he had a pretty good year last year, but Geis is, I think he is the future there. He's definitely going to get the bulk of the carries this year as long as he's on the field. So I do like that one a lot. Why don't you go over why you had Henderson, especially with Todd Gurley in the backfield there? Why do you have him up so high at number three?
For me, it's obvious. Gurley's health issues are a major concern. There's no doubt he is a home run hitter, and there are very little talents at the position like him. But with every passing day, there's some news coming out about there's some type of arthritis in the knees, and he's not healing properly, or he might not be 100% by the time, OTAs or the start of the season. And there's a lot of concern there. And even if he does start and he plays, is he going to be as effective? Will he get injured again? I mean, there's a lot of buyer beware when it comes to him. And I like Daryl Henderson's game. I like what he can bring to that offense because he is a do-it-all back just like Gurley. He can not only pound the rock up the middle, but he can catch it out in the flat or line up as a wide receiver for you in the slot. He's got a lot of talent, and he's definitely and I hate talking fantasy football like this with you because I feel like I'm giving a lot of my stuff away. But he is another sleeper back for me. He is someone that if you do go after Gurley, you absolutely want to handcuff Henderson to him, and I think it will pay off dividends later in the year for you if you do.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to be battling with Malcolm Brown for some carries, and if Gurley does happen to go down or miss significant time, it's going to be between those two as a two-headed monster with Daryl Henderson, I think, taking a majority of them. I'm going to talk about a guy that I have in my three spot, Alexander Mattison. I kind of have him in there as the same reason as you have Henderson. Dalvin Cook really hasn't played a full 16 yet either. He's going into his third year in the league. The first year he was out with an ACL injury. Forgot how many games he missed, but he is actually slated as the clear backup to Dalvin Cook. So if Cook goes down, he's going in there. He's going to have some huge value. People are going to be scrambling on the waiver wire to grab him. Will he get drafted in a 15-round draft, redraft? Maybe not, unless you're the guy that has Dalvin Cook. I could possibly see it, but he's definitely going to be a guy to look out for, especially with Cook's injury history. It's going to be fun to see. He is. I think the Vikings got a steal in this draft with him taking him. You can't really say steals are in the third round, because third round. I mean, the way that scouting is these days, and the way that the talent is, third round is still starter player caliber. But they did get a steal. I'm going to call it a steal with Alexander Mattison in the third. I know you didn't have him on your list. You actually had a guy that I'm in a slow draft, and I just grabbed him a couple of picks ago, Kaji Olsen. And I really like this kid. I think he's going to another perfect fit with another guy who can't seem to stay healthy or seems to struggle a little bit with Devonta Freeman. And I'm assuming that's why you have him up where you
Not
have
to
him, but
mention his number two is gone. He's off in San Francisco, so
they do have Ito Smith there too, but any other words you want to say about him?
First of all, good pickup. I like that for you. That's definitely going to be a bench stash kind of guy that may not be effective as soon as the season starts, but full head of steam maybe once you get a couple weeks in. And they realize that Freeman isn't healthy or Ito Smith isn't a solid enough backup. Honestly, he could easily be the number three guy at the start of the season with the potential to be a solid number two change of pace type of guy. Or I'm thinking third downs, I'm thinking goal line. I'm thinking of those in between the tackles and short distance that you normally won't always see Freeman on, especially if they're going, we need to keep him fresh. We don't want to put him through the ringer too much because he's already got a laundry list of injuries. And given his talent, we want to try to maximize what we can get out of him and not minimize his time on the field as far as him possibly getting injured again. So I like that pickup as a later round. And he's another guy that I think was underrated coming out. And I was excited when the Falcons picked him up. And I believe it was in the fifth round. I think they got great value for Olsen there. He's going to surprise some people in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's another one that goes to a team where he could definitely see the field because of the guys ahead of him. Ito Smith last year, when he was given the chance, he really didn't show much. I know a couple of us, I don't remember if you grabbed him in any leagues, but I know as soon as Freeman went down, I was looking at Ito because Coleman was already drafted and taken by a couple people. So I was looking for the third guy to kind of come in. So that's basically going to be the same situation here. Somebody's going to have Freeman. Somebody's probably going to have Ito Smith, so it's kind of like, do you want to carry Olsen on your team and kind of not hope for an injury, but hope that something happens with Freeman and you have a chance to play Olsen? Now, a guy that you don't have on your list, though, which is very surprising, not even in your top five, is Miles Sanders. Can I ask you why you left him off?
There's a lot of talent in the backfield in Philly. And I think running game isn't necessarily going to be something that they are going to be focused on. I'm thinking they're totally focused on getting Carson Wentz healthy. And they went out and they got one of my guys, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, in the draft. And they're focusing in on trying to have him reclaim the passing game in Philly. There's just too many guys in there right now. And until there's an injury or they start cutting guys or weeding things out, I don't know that I trust Miles Sanders to make an impact right now. I'd have to wait until, again, OTAs and preseason starts and see where they end up sticking him and where he falls on the depth chart and just what happens when he's actually live in game. I'm not saying he's not talented enough to make a fantasy impact. I just don't love his situation more so than anybody else's.
No, I definitely see your points. He is a guy for me. Between him, Montgomery, and Jacobs, I'll definitely be looking at them drafting in our in either of our two leagues. For anybody that doesn't know, that these are 15 round. The one's a keeper, the other one's not. So more so your league where it's not a keeper. 15 round redraft. Definitely be looking at those three for sure. And then anybody else might be for depth, but I do like Jacobs a lot. I like Montgomery a lot, and Sanders, I'm definitely gonna be looking at, just depending on where he falls to. I think that's gonna wrap up our running backs. Damian Harris is another one to really look out for. It's you can't really trust New England running backs. But Sonny Michel is he did show a lot last year, and maybe Belichick is trying to kind of ease Brady a little bit off and maybe go to a run game a little bit, and that'll definitely help Sony Michel owners. But them going out and drafting Damian Harris kind of made all the Sony Michel owners say, WTF, man? What's going on? You guys finally got a good running back, and you're gonna go draft another one? Doesn't make any sense, but we'll see what happens there. Moving on to the wide receivers. So for my list, I got N'Keal Harry at number one, Paris Campbell number two, DK Metcalf number three, Hakeem Butler number four, AJ Brown of the Titans number five, and I don't know if I'm saying his first name right. Mecole Hardman of the Chiefs number is my honorable mention. Adam has Harry as well at number one. He's got Hakeem Butler number two, Hollywood Brown number three, Metcalf number four, Deebo Samuel number five, and Paris Campbell number six. And I believe these lists were made before Baldwin was released, and then he ended up retiring. But I think DK is in a good spot for all of us. And kicking off your list that you got, you actually have him number one. Why don't you finish the rest of your list?
Yeah, so I put DK number one, and like you said, that was before we found out he was getting released, but there was already some type of speculation that he might have just retired outright because of injuries and things weren't working out in Seattle anymore for him. So I immediately saw him as going to be the number one guy. I mean, that's who DK Metcalf was supposed to be coming out of the draft. So I put him number one. I got Deebo Samuel, actually, in San Francisco as my number two guy. N'Keal Harry, I put in number three. I have Andy Isabella out of Arizona in the number four spot. Calvin Harmon from Washington, he's got my fifth overall spot. And then my honorable mention is actually going to be a running mate for Metcalf in Seattle, and that's Gary Jennings Jr.
All right, so since your list is kind of all over the place, and I do like your list, but you're definitely going to give us some great talking points here. Let's just run it down. Obviously, you already mentioned about the speculation that Baldwin was going to either retire, and then he ended up getting cut and retiring. If you want to touch a little bit more on Metcalf, you can, but I want to know why. I kind of want to know why Isabella, Harmon, and Jennings made your list as well. So why don't you run down a little bit for me?
All right, I'll start off with Isabella. So Isabella to me is going to be, and it's we use it a lot, the Julian Edelman of, and in this case, it's going to be the Julian Edelman of Arizona. And I think, first of all, him having Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury involved with the offense here is going to do wonders for Isabella because he is a possession type receiver. He is going to be a guy that I think Murray is going to lock into, especially in an offense where they try to get the ball out quickly. And he's going to benefit a lot, I think, and a lot more than what people may realize, because again, there's a lot of talent. I mean, you guys have Hakeem Butler on your list. There's also Larry Fitzgerald. He's still there. There's a couple other guys that they do have. You know, they got Charles Clay that they bought in. They do have Ricky Seals-Jones as another one of their tight ends and a possible target. But I think his talents suit this offense so well that I can feel it that him and Murray are going to have an instant connection, and they're going to carry that momentum and that chemistry into the regular season. And I could definitely, at the very least, he's going to catch a lot of balls. And for anybody that's in a league where you're getting maybe a point per reception or even a half a point per reception, that's gonna mean a lot. He doesn't get a ton of touchdowns or 100, you know, he's not getting, you know, 70, 80 yards a game, but he's getting roughly 50, 60 yards a game. But if he's catching 10 balls, I mean, that's gonna be decent production for him. And he could easily be slotted in into a number three or a flex role for somebody. Moving on to Calvin Harmon, I like him because for me, he was a sleeper, and he actually got drafted way later than I anticipated. And again, another guy who I think his talents will suit the offense that he's in. And again, will complement the quarterback that they have in place and another rookie. So this was another guy that we were alluding to when we were talking about the quarterback rankings, and we were talking about Dwayne Haskins. So I think both Harmon and Haskins are actually those prototypical, you know, pro style kind of guys, quarterback receiver. And I could definitely see him, you know, gaining chemistry because let's be honest, the rookies tend to they gravitate towards each other, and there's really no number one guy in Washington that you have to really be concerned with. I see that that room is wide open for the taking. Whoever's going to play the best is going to get the time, and Harmon has a really great opportunity to take a hold of there. I mentioned Jennings as my honorable mention because I think he's another guy that's going to sneak up on people, especially now that Baldwin's gone. While I said DK Metcalf is going to be the number one, and technically that's what Baldwin was in Seattle, Jennings is actually in the mold of Baldwin, and he could actually fill that role in his absence. And again, he's another guy that I think where maybe DK Metcalf is going to be your home run hit or bust type of receiver. Jennings is going to be more of your consistent, constant receptions throughout the game. He might hit some big plays here or there, but at the very least, you know that he is going to get his fair share of targets on a consistent basis week in and week out. So that's why I looked at those guys as my four, five, and honorable mentions.
I absolutely love it. I love Kelvin Harmon. He and you mentioned it. He definitely does have the opportunity to be the number one there as early as this year in his rookie season. They don't have a lot of talent on the outside for wide receivers. They do have Jordan Reed at the tight end slot. They lost Jameson Crowder to our division rival, the Jets. But they still have Josh Doctson, who isn't. I mean, he's going to be basically battling with Harmon for the for those. For those balls. I mean, they're both going to be on the field at the same time, but Harmon definitely has every opportunity in the world to end up as the number one there. I do like Isabella. I just, as you can tell from mine and Adam's list, actually, we both have Hakeem Butler on ours and not Isabella. I like the build of Hakeem Butler. That's my favorite type of receiver. I love the big body, go up and snag the ball out of the air, come down with it, and make some noise kind of receiver. And that's exactly what Hakeem Butler, big guy like DK Metcalf, that's what those kind of players bring. Isabella, I definitely believe he's going to be a staple in that Arizona offense. Quick running gun, move the chains in the slot. But they basically have three slot receivers, including, well, Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. So it's going to be hard to see who's going to be their over the middle guy. You already mentioned that Isabella is a that team's specific Julian Edelman. So it could be him. But I mean, they kind of got three guys that do the same thing. So I do like it though. I really don't know much about Gary Jennings. He's thanks for giving me your secret. I'm going to draft him now in your league.
I hate you.
one guy that and it sucks that Adam's not on the show with us. The very first receiver taken in the draft, and he's the only one that has him on his list is Hollywood Brown. What are your thoughts on him this year? I mean, in that Ravens offense with the quarterback who definitely needs to get to learn how to be a quarterback.
I wanted to put him on my list. I love his talent. I'm more concerned not with him, but the quarterback situation in Baltimore. Obviously, Lamar Jackson's a very talented quarterback, but he's more of that jack of all trades, master of none. His Hollywood's fantasy projection is going to be based on Jackson's development for me this in year two. That's going to be another one that I'm obviously going to monitor, and I got to see how things kind of look for off-season programming and preseason. I mean, that's kind of the standard here, and I don't know that there's a ton of competition. I mean, Crabtree's gone, Brown's with the Bills now, and I'm talking John Brown. I honestly think Hollywood can actually be the number one guy in Baltimore, but that has to be that Lamar Jackson is accurate with the ball, number one, and he's so far along in his development that he takes the time to, look for Brown, that he targets Brown, that he doesn't try to run with the ball when things get a little shaky in the pocket. I mean, again, there's a lot of question marks, and usually if I don't have a guy ranked in top five, top 10, it may not be solely based on him as a player, it's, I'm looking at the big picture. I'm looking at quarterback. I'm looking at the offense. I'm looking at the competition at that position. There's a lot of factors that, that go into my decision with as my top targets at any position. And right now I'm uncertain with Hollywood's position with his quarterback and not so much with him on the team.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. He is, I think, in order for him to succeed in that offense, well, A, obviously Lamar Jackson has to be a good quarterback, or at least show some progression. But a lot of his yards and touchdowns are going to be coming from that quick hitter over the middle, or just screen pass, and he kind of makes plays by himself, using his speed, put the ball in his hands, and then see what he can do with it. Maybe he's back there returning kicks and punts, and maybe if you're in a league where you get points for that, outside of just the return touchdown points, that'll help you out a little bit too. And I'm actually in, well, I'm in about 20 different leagues, but I'm in another dynasty startup this year. And I had the 12th overall pick for rookies, because I had the first overall pick for the actual startup draft. And I actually split it with a buddy, and it came down to, it's a single quarterback league, so Kyler Murray was on the board still, but it came down to looking at it and like, okay, our quarterbacks are Dak Prescott and I forgot who our other one was. So should we take Murray here? And he looks and says that Hollywood Brown's there, and I just had a big sigh. I did not want to do it, but we ended up doing it. So, I mean, I hope the best for him, not only for my team, but I mean, I just want to see him succeed. But I'm not too high on him, and for the same reasons as you. One guy that I am very high on, though, is my number two guy that I had, and that's Paris Campbell. He's in an excellent spot. Andrew Luck is back, and I'm excited to watch him play. I'm excited to see how that offense does this year. I'm going to be not necessarily rooting for the Colts, but I'm going to be watching a lot of Colts games, because they are, with Andrew Luck on the field, it just makes them so much better to watch. And you got T.Y. Hilton on one side. They signed Devin Funchess to a very lucrative one-year prove-it deal. So you know they're going to want to get him the ball. And that's just going to open up the field for Paris Campbell. And Marlon Mack last year, he showed a little bit in the run game. So, and that's, I mean, that's part of the reason why I think that they didn't go out and really pursue Le'Veon Bell that much. They feel like Marlon Mack could be that number one guy there. And now, so, I mean, their offense is just going to be buzzing. And Paris Campbell, I think, is an excellent mid to late round sleeper. I wouldn't even call him a sleeper, because, I mean, people are going to look and see this guy from Indianapolis, who has one of the top quarterbacks in the league, throwing him the ball, is still on the board. That's a perfect fit. I'm going to grab him right here. So, I mean, Paris Campbell is probably one of my favorite wide receivers in this draft, and I'm happy where he landed, because he's definitely going to be somebody that I'm going to be targeting in fantasy football. Another guy, too, who in another one of my fantasy leagues that the draft is going on, N'Keal Harry. I ended up picking number three in our rookie draft, and Josh Jacobs was gone, and for some reason Kyler Murray went number two. So N'Keal Harry kind of fell right into my lap. And I ended up grabbing him, and I just love his potential. I love what he can be. He's playing with the best quarterback in football. I mean, as Bills fans, we hate to admit it, but he's the best quarterback to ever play the game, and he gets to play with him for at least however long Brady plays. So it's at least the next 2-3 years, maybe. So, and I mean, he's definitely gonna, he's a big, tall receiver. He's a possession receiver. He's another guy that can go up and grab the ball out of the air, make defensive backs look silly. And I can't wait to watch him play, because I don't want to see the Patriots, but I can't wait to watch his individual stats. That's what I'm looking forward to. So I love N'Keal Harry, and I can't wait to see him.
There's a lot to like about N'Keal Harry's situation right now, and I would say that has more to do with Rob Gronkowski retiring. I mean, everybody knows that offense flowed through Edelman, Gronkowski, and Brady. I mean, they were the three-headed monster in New England. But, you know, Gronkowski's gone. Brady, like you said earlier, is getting older, and they're leaning more towards the running game to kind of ease off and kind of take their foot off the gas with Brady to obviously help him last longer. But I mean, I did bring in Demaryius Thomas, but I'm not hopeful that he's going to make any kind of significant impact. I mean, he's got the injury concern and there's some off the field stuff going on with him. I know they brought back Benjamin Watson and they did sign Austin Seferian-Jenkins as well, but I don't see any of those guys filling Gronkowski's shoes because let's be honest, nobody really can. So, I mean, and N'Keal Harry was a highlight reel in college. He really does have the opportunity to be the number one guy, opposite of Julian Edelman for Brady, and he could really make a big impact for the Patriots team.
Yeah, and they took him. The Patriots took him in the first round. And if you know anything about the Patriots, you know that they don't do
They
that.
don't do
They don't
that.
draft offensive talent aside from linemen in the first round. And they did it 2 years in a row now with Sonny Michel last year, and then N'Keal Harry this year. So definitely could see that they're moving in a different direction, getting Brady some better weapons, some better help. It's not one of those situations where Brady has to make the receiver, because he's actually going to have receivers that are household names. He actually has a running game with or without Sonny Michel. He has a running game because they still have James White there, and they went out and got Harris. But it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, we as Bills fans, we don't want to see them succeed. We'd rather have us at the top of the division. But from a fantasy standpoint, I mean, there are definitely some pieces there that we're going to be looking at in our drafts. Any other receivers that you want to touch on? I'll go over Adam's list one more time, see if there's anything you want to touch on. If not, we'll move on to receive or tight ends. Again, he had Harry number one, Butler two, Hollywood three, DK four, Debo Samuel, who I know you had at number two, we really didn't say too much about. And then his honorable mention was Paris Campbell. Anybody before we go to the tight ends?
Oh no, just and I'll touch on Samuel real quick. Like you said, we didn't really get to cover him. I he's a guy that during the pre-draft process, he really kind of he really hit his stride, and a lot of people started taking notice, especially during the Senior Bowl week. And he's again, he's someone I like in a young San Francisco offense. He's another guy that I think is going to be one of those possession type receivers. That he's going to see a lot of targets, he's going to catch a lot of balls, and he's going to be very consistent. He has the opportunity to be the number one there. I mean, they do have Dante Pettis, wide receiver, who had some moments later in the year. Marquise Goodwin, but he's hard to pin down. He doesn't really stay healthy all that much, and he's another one of those due to his speed. He's a boom or bust type of guy, and they did sign Jordan Matthews, another guy I like that people probably should keep an eye on for later on is Richie James. But I think Samuel really has a phenomenal opportunity to take hold of the number one spot and make a big impact for the 49ers.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And especially with their big number 85 there in the middle, kind of taking away some targets and holding up some defenders, and that's big George Kittle. He is a PPR and just he's one of those top three tight ends along with Kelce and Ertz, that he is. So I mean, he's definitely going to open it up for Debo a little bit. Hopefully he ends up having a good year, and the biggest thing is Jimmy G staying healthy. He's been in there. This is what, his third season now? Well, third season since the trade, second full season. But he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's Everything goes through him. If he's got to be on the field in order for San Francisco to succeed, especially with being in a division with the LA Rams and even the Seattle Seahawks. So hopefully everything goes well for them, and we see Debo as a top receiver for him. Going out of the tight ends, got some differences here. So I'll go over mine and Adams, and then you go over yours. Number one, I got Hockenson. Two, I got Noah Fant. Three, Irv Smith. Four, Jay Sternberger. Five, Josh Oliver. And then my honorable mention is Dawson Knox. And Adam has the same guys, just a slightly different order. He's got Hockenson and Fant one and two. here's where his switches up. He's got Sternberger over Smith at 3 and 4, and then his 5 is Oliver, just like mine, and Dawson Knox is mentioned, just like mine. And then why don't you go over your list?
Yeah, so again, I've got the Iowa boys at the top, but I've actually got Fant over Hockenson. And then, like you, I've got Smith in my third spot. I have Josh Oliver actually in my fourth spot. And I do have somebody that neither of you have. I went with Foster Moreau out of Oakland. And again, Dawson Knox being my honorable mention for the Bills.
Yeah, Dawson Knox, honorable mention. As Bills fans, we're hoping for him to do some big things this year, give Josh Allen another target. But why don't you go over why you have Noah Fant number one?
All right, so this philosophy kind of burned me last season, but I'm going to stick with it. And you've got Flacco in Denver now, and Flacco loves his tight ends. And like I said, it burned me last year because Baltimore selected Hayden Hurst in the first round. I think it was at the tail end of the first round. And I looked at that situation and I went, okay, they obviously liked him enough that they took him in the first round, and Flacco likes his tight ends. So I drafted him. Got hurt, he was out, and then by the time he came back in, he probably just missed too much time that he didn't really get his footing and things didn't work out there. But obviously Noah Fant is not Hayden Hurst, and Hayden Hurst is nowhere near being Noah Fant. So and I think he's number one already. I mean, as soon as he got drafted, he was the number one tight end in Denver, and I like that situation there. They've got a awesome young running back duo in they got Lindsey and what's his name out of, I
Royce
think he came
Freeman.
out of Utah. Thank you. Yes, Royce Freeman, or actually he was out of Oregon. So they got those two guys taking control of the running game for them, which will definitely help. And I mean, number one wide receiver there. I mean, you got Emmanuel Sanders, you got Courtland Sutton. So I definitely think that Fant could really show up and be the number one receiving threat for Denver. And then you can kind of throw those other guys around wherever you like.
Yeah, I could see it. They definitely have a good offense. Again, it comes down to the quarterback, and in this case, it's Flacco staying healthy. But they could be a scary team. They have, I mean, obviously they have Kansas City and LA in their division with the up and coming Oakland Raiders. But if Flacco can stay healthy, and he even puts together just a semi decent year with that defense, they can definitely make some noise. Noah Fant definitely gives him that safety blanket to do that. I mean, he doesn't have to sit back in the pocket long and take those extra hits. He can dump it off to Noah Fant or get it out to Lindsey in the backfield and just make some magic happen. But I like it. You really can't. It's more of, yeah, we got Hockenson and Fant at 1 and 2, and you got Fant and Hockenson in the reverse order. But it is really more of a 1A, 1B. It's really not 1-2, it's 1A, 1B. Because it's the same situation in Detroit with Hockenson. It's one of those things where they got a quarterback that is similar to Flacco in Stafford. They got weapons on the outside that are similar to what Denver has. And they also have another, I mean, they have another up and coming running back, kind of like Denver, and Kerryon Johnson. So adding Hockenson to the mix just makes that offense even better. And that's he's to me, he was the more possession tight end, the tight end that, I mean, he can block as well, but he was the guy to me that he was the number one tight end in this draft. Absolutely love it. I am. Going back to our pod last, well, actually your pod last week, where we were talking about the draft, I would have been happy having Hockenson fall to number 9. Would have liked to trade out of that pick if Oliver wasn't there. But if Hockenson was there and Buffalo pulled the trigger on him, I'd be just as happy as taking out Oliver. Would have been another weapon for Josh Allen. Can't go wrong with any weapons for Josh Allen. So that would have been awesome. Why don't you talk about your guy that neither of us have, and that's Foster Moreau from the Raiders.
Yeah, again, another guy who really came on during the Senior Bowl week, And Jared Cook is gone. He's not in Oakland anymore, and that leaves the number one tight end spot wide open. Right now they have Luke Wilson, veteran tight end out of Seattle that they signed. They got Derek Carrier, and that's it. They got three guys, and I haven't delved in deep. I mean, I'm sure that they picked up maybe an undrafted free agent at the position, but I mean, those are their guys that they're starting. They're probably going into the season with, and I mean that you've got Antonio Brown, you got Tyrell Williams, you got Hunter Renfro, you got JJ Wilson. I mean, they've got some receiving options. So obviously Antonio Brown's going to command a lot of attention. Tyrell Williams is no slouch. And I mean, they're going to have a far better running game with Josh Jacobs, as we talked about earlier. So they got him, they got Doug Martin back, and they have Jalen Richard, who can kind of come in and play on third down, a pass catching type of role. So I think he definitely has a chance for, with all that being surrounded around him, that he actually has a chance to step up and play a role in this offense. And at the very least, if they go two tight end sets, he'll definitely be on the field. I think he'll be the number two guy if they look at it and go, okay, you know, Luke Wilson's the veteran. We're probably going to start him, you know, for the beginning of the season, and we'll see how Moreau progresses. But he could very well end up taking over that position, and he could be a target for Derek Carr, who, let's be honest, sometimes he can be kind of gun shy. He might not pull the trigger fast enough to get the ball to like an Antonio Brown or a Williams, and he may look to check it down to a Moreau. So he's definitely an option there.
Yeah, definitely a deep sleeper option. I don't know how many people are going to be looking at different weapons on the Oakland Raiders offense. So he's definitely somebody that I could see there really late. And you and I both know, playing fantasy for as long as we have, I mean, tight ends are hit or miss. They're up and down. You can't really, except for maybe a handful, you can't really trust them. So maybe he's sitting there on the waiver wire week five, week six, and he's starting to come on. He'd definitely be a good pickup. I don't see him going drafted in a lot of leagues, but he's, from what you say about him and how Oakland could potentially use him, definitely somebody that I will keep my eye on. Another guy that we, all three of us, have on our list, I do like him a lot. You actually have him. You have him higher than both myself and Adam, but it's Josh Oliver. He is the Jacksonville Jaguars tight end. Reason why I like him a lot is because he's going into a really good situation for him. Well, for any tight end, but so for him, he definitely has a potential to be a number one target, not just the number one tight end, but a number one target. Yeah, they got D.E. Westbrook there, but Nick Foles is now there, and he's gotten to play with one of the best tight ends in the league, in Zach Ertz, and they've played pretty well together. So he's gonna be looking Josh Oliver's way, and I personally do not like the receivers on Jacksonville, but if there's a guy that I'm gonna take from Jacksonville that's on the offensive side of the ball, it's probably gonna be Josh Oliver. I'm not going anywhere near Leonard Fournette. If it's up to a Jacksonville wide receiver and somebody else on the board, I'm probably going with somebody else. But Josh Oliver is definitely, he's probably the only pass catching option, skill position player that I'm going to be grabbing from Jacksonville this year in any drafts.
Yeah. I'm looking through the roster right now, and I agree 100%. There's not a whole lot to love on the Jacksonville offense. I mean, if there was going to be a guy to love, obviously it would be Leonard Fournette, but given his recent production and all the issues that he's been having over the offseason, yeah, he's another guy. And I had him, and he kind of boned me, so I'm staying away from him. And, yeah, the wide receivers, I mean, it's nobody really jumps out at you on this offense. I mean, if anybody jumps out at you, maybe DeeDee Westbrook. I know Marquise Lee, when he was healthy, you know, he had an impact. But again, you've got a new quarterback in there, and new quarterback means that, you know, they have different tendencies and they might target different guys. And Yeah, I think tight end is probably going to be the most popular offensive choice for this offense. And right now they picked up Jeff Swaim out of Dallas during the offseason. They have James O'Shaughnessy, Ben Koyak, and just a handful of some other guys. Honestly, Jeff Swaim to me really isn't like your pass catching type. He's more of like maybe a run blocker than he is anything else. O'Shaughnessy, I mean, he's just a guy. He came from Kansas City, I think, and he's there for depth. Like you said, Oliver has a really great chance of being the number one target, not just as a tight end, but on the entire offense.
Yeah, no doubt. He's, like I said, he's gonna be one guy that I'll be targeting, but if I don't have any Jaguars on my team this year, I'm not gonna be mad about that. Last thing before we wrap up. So three of the NFC North teams ended up going with tight ends, and well, at least three. I don't know if the Bears picked up any. If they did, they didn't really pick up anybody noteworthy. Couple of them, the Vikings and the Packers, have a good pair of tight ends there. Irv Smith now joins Kyle Rudolph, and Jay Sternberger now joins Jimmy Graham. Both with really good quarterbacks too. I'm going to put Kirk Cousins in the really good quarterback range. Yeah, he's definitely in prime time. He hasn't really shown and. I mean, making the playoffs and everything is a team game, and he hasn't really done too much of that. But as a quarterback, as an individual fantasy quarterback, he's a good quarterback. So that's what I'm getting at. But which pair of tight ends are you more would you be more worried about if you're the rest of the NFC North and playing against them?
Assuming that Minnesota keeps Rudolph, it would have to be Rudolph Smith. I am of the belief that they're not going to keep Rudolph, that it's long term or even short term, if you want to argue, it's in their best interest to deal Rudolph. And I think obviously that'll open the door and Smith is the number one guy in Minnesota. And with Kirk Cousins at the helm, I think he's going to benefit a lot. From his position there. Sternberger has Jimmy Graham ahead of him, and Jimmy Graham isn't the player he once was, both fantasy and just in general, but he is the elder statesman. He's the veteran on the team. I think Sternberger's probably more in a position where he's going to learn from Jimmy Graham, and he may come in on maybe as like a red zone target. So maybe that's where you'll see him during his rookie season, as he might not get the field as much with Jimmy Graham ahead of him, but he may come in on certain packages, short yardage, end zone, stuff like that, where he may get some looks. But I that's why I have Smith. I actually didn't put Sternberger on my list at all, but that's why I have Smith where I have him.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you too, especially if Kyle Rudolph sticks around in Minnesota. I know trade rumors are heating up, and if he does get traded, please, fantasy gods and football gods, don't let him go to New England. But he is, if he stays in Minnesota, that offense is just going to be clicking. I mean, even in two tight end sets, Irv Smith, Kyle Rudolph on the inside, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen on the outside, Dalvin Cook in the backfield, got Kirk Cousins, who's a gunslinger. I mean, that's got fantasy football written all over it. It's going to be fun to see. Hopefully he sticks around. And I mean, I'm not a Minnesota fan by any means, but it's definitely going to be fun to watch them play if they have all those weapons on the field at the same time and they all could stay healthy. Before we wrap up, I just want to give a well congratulations to the Boston Bruins as we're sitting here doing this podcast. They actually just won Game 4 of their Eastern Conference Finals to advance to the Stanley Cup. As Buffalo fans, we tend to not.
Boo!
We tend to not really be kind to Boston teams in general. Bruins are obviously in the Sabres division, Patriots in the Bills division. I don't know what your thoughts on baseball are, but the Boston and New York rivalry, but it was interesting to see they swept the Hurricanes in 4 games. They shut out the Hurricanes this game, 4-0 in this game. So, congratulations to them going back to the Cup Finals for the first time since 2013 when they beat the Vancouver Canucks. It's going to
I
be.
believe they did it without Chara too. Was Chara out this game?
No, he played this game.
Oh,
He was
okay.
there. I actually might be wrong on who they played in 2013, though. I actually don't remember. I thought the Canucks was actually earlier, but congratulations to Boston. Hopefully, whoever comes out of the West beats them down. But I mean, they made it to the Cup Finals again, so it's going to be an interesting. I mean, they are the best team I believe left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So if we want good hockey, it's a good thing that they won.
So who you, did you, I'm sorry, did you say who you were rooting for out of the West? Are you going for San Jose?
I want either one. I mean, I don't want Boston to win. I kind of just want good hockey. I mean, at this point, ever since the Capitals got eliminated, it's just been I want every series to go seven just to get the max amount of games. Obviously, that didn't happen with a couple sweeps, but I just want a good either. I want a good called game. I don't know if you've been following along at all, but there has been some controversial calls in each of the San Jose series. One in the Vegas series, one just last night. I don't exactly remember what happened. I just seen a lot of people in different NHL groups on Facebook kind of complaining about it and saying how the Sharks have been helped out by the refs and all these jokes about, well, if the Sharks win the cup, do the refs get their names on the cup too? So there's definitely some things going on there. But I honestly, I want a nice 7-game series that is just called evenly both ways.
Yeah, I haven't been watching, but thankfully with Andrew putting out his podcast, he's been touching on the. I think actually his last episode he had touched on the blown call controversies, and yeah, I think what happens here is going to be the same thing that happened during the Saints LA game to get to the Super Bowl. I think we're going to be looking at the NHL taking a very hard look at how maybe even just this series in particular developed and possibly looking at some rule changes for the next season.
Yeah, I mean, with all the complaints, I can definitely see it happening. It's such a fast-paced game, though. It's going to be hard. They do have cameras all over the place, and they can pretty much break down every play. And you know how they say in football, where if you were to challenge every play, you could find holding on every single play. In hockey, you can find something going on in every single play where something's illegal. So I hope they don't really get to that point, but they do need to clean it up a little bit. There have been some controversial things going on, and it just makes it unwatchable. But I mean, it's just so fast paced that I mean, things like that are going to happen. Hopefully they can clean it up a little bit, but still, but don't change it too much to where you can't just watch the game anymore at all. But with that said, we are going to wrap it up. Why don't you plug your show a little bit? Tell us a little bit about Nickel City Sportscast, what you got planned coming up, and then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, we got a great show. We're actually it's going to be me and you, and we're actually getting Andrew on for the first time, and I think it's the first time ever on my show.
Yeah, and your show
I know that
is.
I know that we've been on his show a couple times. We've actually got him free, so that's going to be fun. We got a great show lined up. By the time this gets out, it'll be Friday, or it'll be Friday, and that's the day that we're going to start recording. So that'll be episode 7. We got that coming up, and yeah, so as soon as that drops, take a listen. It should be great content.
Yeah, so Nickel City Sportscast, search it on all of your favorite podcast apps. We're on Yahoo, we're on Google, we're on Apple, not Yahoo, I'm sorry. We're on Google, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Anchor if you have Anchor. Same thing with this podcast, Great Lakes Football Talk. We're on all those different podcast stations. So definitely check us out. Check out the Fantasy Football Fraternity. That is the fantasy football page that myself, Adam, and about eight other people run. It's, I mean, we just have different things going on every single day, different polls, different ideas that we see, and just try to make it our own. And then come fantasy football season, I mean, that's the real bread and butter for us. We on Sunday mornings from 9 in the morning up until game time. We're going over start sit. You could ask us questions, and we'll answer those questions and try to put the best lineup out there for you to help you win your leagues. And it's just we're all knowledgeable guys that play in about 20 leagues each, different kinds of leagues, IDP leagues, two quarterbacks, super flex, any kind of league that you can think of, we play in, and that's where all the experience comes in, and that's why we're able to help you out. So, Fantasy Football Fraternity, it's been really fun talking fantasy football with you today, Mark. It's been awesome. I know you're gonna have to go back to the drawing board and try to find some more sleepers because we're in a couple of leagues together. So, definitely spend the next couple months doing that because I'm coming for your guys.
Yes, because this is exactly why I don't talk fantasy on my show, and this is why I keep it to a very bare minimum when it comes to your show.
Well, I definitely appreciate you coming on, and I can't wait to talk with you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.